Let us pray for someone in some corner of the world who may have no church, is alone, and is crying to the Lord, asking the Lord to edify them, to reveal himself. The Lord is able to reach out to them with these messages and give them hope for the afterlife. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us go to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23. And verse 11. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 11. The Bible says, after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. Amen. We have here a context. There is a background here. We know this is a time of King David. King David was a man who lived by the sword because he had so many enemies, all wanting to kill him. And it was a difficult time, a difficult life that he lived. But at the same time, we know that God was with him in every battle, in everything that he did. And one of the ways in which God strengthened and established his promises through King David was through some unique individuals that God gave him. Praise God. Let me remind you that on the way to heaven, remember I said earlier, Jesus is the way. Amen. He's not just a meeting point. He's a way. He's a way. The way. The way. Praise God. There's no other way. And along this way, Jesus will send some individuals to be with you. Praise God. All of us need our mighty men. None of us have made it this far on our own. Praise God. We must be thankful and we must acknowledge that the Lord sent some mighty men and some mighty women to bring us to where we are today. Without them, we would have collapsed a long time ago. I want you to think for a moment, if you just close your eyes for a moment and say and think, who are some of these mighty men and women that God sent in my life? Do you see their faces? Maybe some of them have passed on to glory. Some of them are still around. Let's thank Jesus for them. Let's thank the Lord for their support, their intervention. Let's thank the Lord for sending them into our lives for a moment. Praise God. So it's not only David who had some mighty men that God sent for him to become the great King David that we know today. We remember David being anointed by Samuel the prophet. And we knew that once we read that passage that he will be king. Nothing can stop this from coming to fruition. But at the same time, we really did not expect that the way to the throne would be paved with so much suffering, betrayal, pain. But in the same measure, the Lord also sent help for David. Amen. So you may say my Christian life is tough. I seem to experience more suffering than most people. Well, then the Lord will send you more help than he will send most people. Amen. According to the challenge, so will be the help from the Lord. Hallelujah. And so King David had so many challenges. It was clearly impossible for him to make it alone that God gave him many mighty men. And when we say mighty, we mean each one was a battalion. Each person seemed to be Superman, if you will. That's what it took for him to make it to the throne. Praise God. And today we will speak about one such man whose name is Shammah. Let's all say Shammah. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful just thinking about his name, Shammah, which is related to Jehovah Shammah? The Lord Jehovah is here. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shammah, praise God. God is here. Emmanuel, God with us, praise God. When the going gets tough, the Lord wants us to know we are not in it alone. Remember when the apostles were fighting against the waves in the Sea of Galilee? They thought they're going to drown. At that time, they saw Jesus walking on the water, coming to them. They were not alone. We are never alone. Jehovah Shammah, Emmanuel, Jesus is with us. Sometimes we don't see him because it is dark, there's a storm, we are panicking. But just relax a bit and look around. You will see Jesus coming to you. You will see Jehovah Shammah. You know, Jesus has always been there in the darkest hours of our lives. It's only later we realize he was there. But in the midst of the storm, we did not see it. We thought we're alone. I'm going to drown. No, Jesus sees us. He sees you fighting against the storm. He is Shammah. Say Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. So when David had his problems, there was literally a man called Shammah. Hallelujah. God is with you. Amen. So this man, the Bible says, there was a time when the Philistines gathered together into a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. And the next verse is very beautiful because we are told in verse 12, but he, that is Shammah, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And slew the Philistines. And the Bible says, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Who wrought the victory? It's not Shammah, but it is the Lord God who was with Shammah. Hallelujah. So here is a man called Shammah. He has the perfect name for this business. Hallelujah. And he noticed that the children of Israel fled from the Philistines because the Philistines decided to occupy a piece of ground with lentils. Now, think about lentils. Yeah. Lentils may not sound that important, but in many cultures, many countries where there is poverty, people learn to respect lentils, isn't it? It's what we call the poor man's or the poor woman's protein. It's rich in protein. It's a nutritious food, vegetable, crop. And in one sense, the Bible is telling us this field was not that important. It's just lentils. However, it is important enough to be defended. Praise God. I want to compare today lentils to something in your life, in my life, that perhaps we have fled from it. We have surrendered it to the enemy. We have relinquished it to the enemy. We no longer want to defend it. We've left it. Let the Philistines have it. Let the devil have it. It can be a prayer that you've been making to the Lord for many years. It can be a godly habit that you had. It can be a desire for revival. It can be a desire or a feeling that God put in your heart to forgive someone, to love someone, and it was your field. It can be many things. But the Philistines came, the enemy came, the pressure became too much for you. And you said, I just don't want to defend it. I give it up. Do you know many times, often when we give up on something, we try not to even admit to ourselves that we gave up. The silent capitulation, the silent surrender. I want you to think about it today. What is it you have surrendered to the Philistines? What is it that you have not even admitted to yourself that I have surrendered and given over to the enemy? No, no, no. There is always a Shema. Hallelujah. God must raise Shema in you to go and stand in the middle of the field. Say, I'm going to go back in Jesus' name. Thank you, preacher. You are laying something on my heart that God himself has been laying on my heart each time I pray. I gave up on something. I gave up on my field of lentils. But I need it back. Because this field of lentils was given to you by the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Who gave the children of Israel this land? It's the Lord. Hallelujah. They got this land by fighting. Amen. In Jesus' name. And I want to compare this with your own life. Think about all the blessings you have. I think you fought for many of your blessings, isn't it? Was it easy for you to just receive Jesus? Was it easy for you to decide to be baptized in Jesus' name? Was it a piece of cake for you to get the Holy Ghost? Is it a walk in the park for you to live a holy life? I don't think so. I think you fought a battle for every one of these stages in Jesus' name. Am I right? Praise God. Do you know the things of God are beautiful, wonderful, and that is why we do not get them that easily. Are you with me? Hallelujah. How difficult was it for the apostle, for Saul of Tarsus to become the apostle Paul? Amen. Every step of the way was paved with serious danger for him. He wanted to kill the Christians. Imagine trying to wipe out the faith which makes you the most famous Christian in the world. What a paradox. See how the devil works and see how God works. How difficult was it for him to finally accept that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, that Jesus Christ is Jehovah, hallelujah, the God whom he has been worshiping and praying to since he could think for himself as a child. He had to be struck with the light of Jesus from heaven in Damascus. Praise God. Most people received Jesus in the land of Israel. The apostle Paul was one of the few. I mean, he was probably the only apostle, the only Christian at that time who received Jesus in Damascus, in the land of the enemy. Everything was tough. Everything was a struggle. Imagine being told to be baptized in Jesus' name while you are blind. The Apostle Paul is probably the only Christian who was made blind so that he could listen to the message of baptism that Ananias came and gave him. Go wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, Paul. Ananias told him, Jesus had appeared to him. He was so rebellious that God had to make him blind so that he doesn't jump around and make noise, so he can listen for once. Hallelujah. So you see how difficult it was for the Apostle Paul to come to Jesus. Should he not defend his piece of ground of lentils? Hallelujah. That is why no matter what beatings he received, what abuse, what suspicion from the other apostles, he was defending his piece of lentils. Hallelujah. Jesus appeared to me on the road to Damascus. Nobody can take that away from me. Saints of God, only you know what your piece of ground is, of lentils. Don't let anybody put a question mark on it. Don't let anybody make you doubt it. Don't let anybody trifle with it. Hallelujah. Today we are all Shema. Say, I'm Shema today. I'm going to scan in the middle of my piece of ground and I'm going to defend it in Jesus' name. And you know, once Shema decided to do what he did, which seemed suicidal, the power of God came upon him. Hallelujah. I mean, imagine one man defeating a whole troop of Philistines. Hallelujah. This is supernatural. Because when the Lord saw it, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord. Somebody say the eyes of the Lord. Who is God looking for? Who? You know, the world is looking for heroes and God is looking for a hero. Because it says the eyes of the Lord move to and fro. Amen. Throughout the earth, God is looking for someone. Who is he looking for? He is looking for those whose hearts. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. You know these verses. I'm not teaching something new. I'm here to edify you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Be edified in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Listen, it's not about Shema being strong or you and I being strong. It's about the Lord being strong for himself to show the world that he is God. Give God an opportunity to show the world that he is God. Hallelujah. This is what it's about. To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt. You see, this king, he made a big mistake. He did not give God a chance to show himself strong. Can you say with me, I will give Jesus an opportunity to show himself strong to the world. Amen. It's not about us. Jesus wants to show the world that he is powerful, that he's God, that he's strong. Hallelujah. Give him that opportunity. And this is what this man Shema did. Praise God. He said, if I die, I die. Doesn't matter. There was another woman who said these words. If I perish, I perish. Queen Esther. You know, she had a good life. She was surrounded by wealth. But what does it mean to you? If all your people are going to die, if the church is going to be massacred, what is the, how can you relax in your palace, in your comfort? So she said, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to go to the king. Let God show himself strong through me. Amen. We are blessed whenever the Lord gives us an opportunity to show Himself strong. When the time comes, brothers, sisters, that it may seem that you're actually going to die for Jesus, very often you will not die. It's Jesus's opportunity to use you to show Himself strong. Amen. And that will be a great blessing for you. So Shammah decided that day was his chance to glorify God. In other words, he put himself in a position and he told God, be our Jehovah Shammah. Today, glorify your name. Let the Philistines go back, the ones who survive, and say, you cannot fight Israel. One Israelite can defeat a thousand. How are we going to fight these people? So may the Lord give us the spirit of Shammah. Praise God. A man who stood in the field and he, say with me, he stood in the midst of the field. Amen. He didn't stand in one corner. He stood in the middle because he wants to make it clear that the whole field belongs to him. He is certain he will die in the middle. Think about the blessings that Jesus has given you. Are they so valuable that you are willing to stand in the middle of these promises and say, I'm going to fight from the middle? Oh, praise God. Which blessings are so valuable, brothers and sisters, that we are willing to stand in the middle of the field and fight? Shall I name some of them? What about one God? Do we believe only in one God because the church apostolic people all believe in one God? So as long as they shout one God, we shout hallelujah. What about the time you are surrounded by Trinitarians? What about the time you are surrounded by polytheists, people who believe in many gods? What about that time? Say, I will still stand in the middle of my field, the one God field. I will stand in the middle and defend it. Praise God. You know, all in all, I may have been kicked out at least from two churches in my life. Because I, no, three in my travels, because I told the pastors God is one, it's not a trinity. Told me, get out of this church. I was not a member of the church. I met a woman in Nairobi 20 years ago, 25 years ago, maybe. And I told her, do you believe Jesus is the Father? She said, yes, all of my church believes it. I said, really? What kind of church is this? Let's go to your pastor. And you know, the pastor at a big church with the TV stations, you know, those health and wealth preachers, very famous in Kenya. And I met him in his office and he told me, what do you believe? I said, I met this lady. She says she's in your church. And she told me she believes Jesus is the Father. Is that right? Is this what you believe? He said, no, we don't believe that. So I smiled, you know, and the lady was surprised and he looked at her and he told her, who are you? Do you go to our church? He did not even know that she goes to his church. And then he told her, no, we don't believe Jesus is a father. So I said, thank you for clarifying this. I opened the Bible and I showed him John chapter 14, verse 9, where it says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? He said, believest thou not the Father is in me and I'm in the Father? So Jesus said to Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. You know what this pastor said? And God is my witness. He said, he told me, which Bible are you reading from? I've never heard this verse before. I told him, this is the King James Version. I believe you have the same one in Kenya. And then he opened his Bible and he had the same King James Version. And he was reading it and he became confused. This is a pastor of a church of 10,000 people. He's very famous in Kenya. And then he said, you know, what the Bible is saying is, it's not saying he who has seen me. He's saying he who believes in me believes in the Father. I told him, congratulations, Pastor. You just twisted the word of God. You just corrupted the word of God. And the Bible says, do not change the word of God. It's written here, John said, he who has seen, and you are taking the word seen and you're making it believe. What are you talking about? You know, he was so shocked after some time, he kicked me out. Said, we don't want to see you around in this area. And they have security guards and policemen. And so I was not there to make trouble. But let me tell you, I will defend my piece of lentil ground. Amen. Hallelujah. This is my lentil ground. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your title is. I told another American pastor in Uganda, I told him with all due respect, because he told me he was afraid. We were going to the same conference, and he said, I was afraid that you have another doctrine, false doctrine. So I opened the scriptures. I showed him baptism is in Jesus' name. He said, you know, I am a Baptist, but we don't believe baptism is important for salvation. I told him with due respect, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you think of the Bible. What matters is what the Bible says. Amen. And the Bible is saying, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 16. And you are saying our church, we call ourselves Baptist, but we don't believe in. What kind of nonsense is this? Listen, we are Shema. Hallelujah. He was a very old missionary and he traveled the world. Doesn't matter. I looked at him and told him, if you are not baptized in Jesus' name, you are rebellious against God. You need to repent. He got shocked. I don't say it out of disrespect. I just don't like it when people are arrogant against the word of God. Whoever you are, the word of God made you. Amen. The word of God will be spoken and you will rise up to meet the Lord. The word of God heals you. You live and move and have your being in the word of God. How is it we can try to change the word of God and say something against the word of God? Where do you get this confidence from? We get our confidence from the word of God. If it's there in the word of God, we don't discuss with anybody. We can reason with you, but we will command you in Jesus' name. The apostle Peter commanded a commander by the name of Cornelius. He's a colonizer. He's a centurion. That means he has 100 soldiers who are around him who could have killed Peter. But when it comes to the word of God, we command everybody. Peter commanded the commander, can any man hinder water that these should not be baptized? Nobody was. He said, then be baptized in Jesus' name. Listen, there are things we are willing to discuss, but there comes a time we will tell you, thus saith the Lord. Amen. You argue with Jesus, but we are telling you what the word of God says. And you will give account to the word of. And Shema was not discussing with any Philistine about that piece of ground. It belongs to God. Hallelujah. It is part of the Holy Land. Hallelujah. Amen. He's not willing to give one inch. Praise God. And let me tell you, if you are not equipped with this kind of mentality, with zeal, to never compromise the word of God, the devil will find you out. He will make you compromise. And before long, you will end up very far from what you once believed in. See how far Adam and Eve ended up from where they were supposed to be. If they believed in the one God doctrine, they would have been in the Garden of Eden. Because they rebelled against the one God doctrine, they were suffering. They saw their son kill the other son. To play with doctrine is very dangerous. But it's not just doctrine that is our piece of lentils. Amen. ground, lentil ground. It is also all that we have learned from the Lord Jesus. He said that we should take heed to two things. Which two things? 1 Timothy 4:16, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Let us turn there. Always remember this. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Praise God. You know that there are people who have lost their salvation because they did not take heed to themselves and to the doctrine. And they are still preaching. And in the end, it comes back as a curse to them. So we need to be very careful. Do you respect the word of God? Are you preaching what the Bible is saying? Are you doing your best to live according to what the word of God is saying? Because that's where your strength will come from. Where did the strength and the power of Shema come from? Where? How could he fight these hundreds of Philistines? Because when you are in the right truth and the right behavior with the Lord, you will get this power. You will get this anointing in Jesus' name. Praise God. Everything the Lord taught us is a piece of ground of lentils. Stand in the middle of this lentil ground. God gave it to you. He is looking at you to see how much you appreciate it. Will you sell it for 30 pieces of silver? You know, the judgment on Judas, it was terrible. Why? He lost his, you know, apostolic title. He lost his life. He died in the most horrible way. Even the place where he died, the whole field was cursed. It was called Akeldama, the field of blood. You know who was buried there beside him? All the criminals, all the people who died in a horrible way like him, all those who were cursed. See how blessed he was to be called to be an apostle, and see how cursed he was in his death. That means nobody would visit his grave because everyone there is cursed. The field of blood. Why? Because he did not appreciate the piece of ground of lentils that God gave. There were also some other people like Korah, Abiram, Dathan. What happened? You know what Moses told them? He said, listen, guys, you people are jealous of Moses. Don't you understand that you are Levites? Do you think it's a small thing to be called a Levite? They were not able to appreciate the field of lentils that God gave them. They want to take what belonged to Moses. Listen, I always believe whatever God blesses other people with, I rejoice. I'm the first to clap for you. May God give you more and more. I really don't understand this thing called jealousy. I thank God it's not something that has blighted my life. I like to give freely to everyone. I want everyone to be stronger than me, to have more gifts than me, more blessings than me. I don't understand envy. I don't understand jealousy. But I've learned to be careful so it doesn't come and take from me what God gave me. I've learned I have to defend my piece of ground. Amen? Praise God. All of us have to defend what God gave you. Be very happy, fathers. May God bless you many, many, many times over. But know the gift that God gave. It is a sin not to know what you have received from heaven. It's a sin. Because if you don't know what it is, you will give it away easily. And we always talk about Esau, the blessing of Abraham. I've preached last week about the seed of Abraham the week before. And Esau hated it. No wonder God said, I hate Esau. A person who does not appreciate the field of lentils that God gave you, I'm sorry, God will say, I don't like this person. But if you like Shema, you appreciate it. You say, no, 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 this field is given to me by God. Hallelujah. It belongs to us. But it's just lentils. Ah. Tomorrow we may have no food and we will survive off this lentils. Doesn't matter whether it's lentils or if it is a field where grapes are growing or fig trees or olive trees. Doesn't matter. This is the Lord's property. What belongs to the Lord, we will fight for in Jesus' name. So this was the spirit of Shema. Notice we don't know much about him. Most of these great people in the Bible, and there's so many of them, they were humble people. We talked about Bezalel another time. Bezalel. And we found out that he was related to Caleb. He was related to these great people in the Bible. Shema was a man of humility, a man of unwavering loyalty. And he took a courageous stand in a field of lentils. And this story is recorded in the Word of God for generations to read. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, this shows that the kingdom of God is often rooted in simple acts of obedience and faithfulness. We do our part, Jesus will do his part. Praise God. Amen. So we need to understand. Somebody may say, well, it's just a small piece of, we'll run away, we'll regroup, and we'll take care of Jerusalem. Listen, we need to be careful with such an attitude. If you are willing to sacrifice the small blessings of God, in the end, you will only be defending Jerusalem. And after that, you have nothing left. So it begins with these small blessings. Amen. I know that walking with the Lord 10 years, 15, 20, 30, 40, even, can be, next year I said it'll be 40 years since I saw Jesus in India. 40 years, 40. It's easy for me to look back and to see what gains I've made and where I may have even abandoned some fields of lentils. With time, you see a pattern. Okay, have I been defending the fields that the Lord gave me? What was it I had in the beginning that I've lost today? So the Lord gives us opportunities with time to recount, to look back, and then to say, I used to do more of that before. I used to do more of this. What happened to that? What about this? What about that? We should take an inventory of our lives. Which field did we abandon? Why? And we need to go back and take a stand again and remove the Philistines. They don't belong there. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to be inspired by this story of Shema. He reminds me of King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 15. He faced an overwhelming army, isn't it? All the Ammonites and Amorites came together. And it looked like a sure defeat. It is at that time that we need to have the spirit of Shema. We need to pray sometimes, Jesus, give me the spirit of Shema. The enemies have united. They look like they're going to crush me. But Lord, hallelujah, give me the spirit of Shema. Are you going through a situation where your problems seem to have united? The Amorites join with the Amorites and they join with the Jebusites and they join with the Hittites. And on top of it, they even got help from the Egyptians. And it says, and it looks like, oh my goodness, I'm overwhelmed. I'm defeated. No, no, no. That is the time to stand and say, Lord, I will defend this ground of lentils. The Bible says, when you have done all, said, put on the full armor of God. Amen. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt about with truth, sandals of the gospel, sword of the spirit, shield of faith. And what did Paul say? When you have done this, stand. Somebody say, stand. Praise God. Stand. I've always said, we don't have any armor for the back because we don't show our back to the enemy. We never, in Jesus. There is no armor for the back because we don't show our back to the enemy. There's no shield at the back. So we are going to stand. I want to challenge everyone that is listening to me. Like I said earlier, with time. Let me read what 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 says. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Somebody say amen. This is what I've been trying to say from the beginning. Shema is not fighting his own battle. Do you know that every time a Christian fights for the truth, if you are hurt for the truth, or even if you die for the truth, you didn't do it for yourself. You are fighting the battle of the Lord. Amen. Don't you think Jesus will honor you? Jesus will bless you for that, because it's not your battle. He said it. The battle is not yours. Shema was not fighting his battle. Remember what we read in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro the whole. Why? To show himself strong. To show himself strong. Himself. Praise God. Let Jesus show himself strong through us. Praise God. Christians are not people who are depending on their own character, depending on their own strength. Amen. We are reflecting the name of Jesus. When somebody comes to you and says, my goodness, I've known that you're a strong person, but I didn't know you were this strong. It's not about you. It's about our God, who has all power, who is eternally strong, and he's showing the world his strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, we thank God for the example of Shema. Some time ago, I told myself I need to honor the people who have done great things in the Bible, but who seem to be given very little attention, and Shema is one of them. So we have taken up the full armor of God. Who is going to go back and stand in that piece of ground of the lentils? You know, the Bible is telling us that this is lentils. Why? Because lentils is not something you put too much stock into. You don't really value it that much. But Shema was thinking, forget what grows there, what is important. Because for him, even the small things of God are important. It's the attitude. Amen? We are not to despise the day of small things. Somebody say, do not despise the day of small things. Do not despise the small things of God. Amen. Because these small things could be the big things. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? See, who has despised? So do not say this is a small thing in the eyes of God. No, that small habit you have for Jesus, that small attitude you have for Jesus can be what will destroy the giants. Amen. Praise God. You know, there are some people who only pay attention to the big things. Yeah. And for them, the small things are not to be bothered with. But we need to be like Shema. Because small things, big things, all are from the Lord. We must give an account to the Lord for what we have done with the small things. Amen. You see, it may sound like a small thing that Daniel, the prophet, he told the king that, and everyone, that he has a habit to pray three times a day, and he faces Jerusalem, and that was his business. People must have said, well, what kind of a strange guy is this? He's president. And he goes on his knees three times a day, and he doesn't even pray to any of the gods of Babylon, which destroyed his country. But he wants to pray to a God who is defeated in Jerusalem. This is how they must have been talking. Daniel must have been aware of it. He kept quiet. He accepted this humiliation. He did not ask God why. He knew why. His people sinned against God. He knows that his God is not weak. His God is powerful. And he would go on his knees, and he was protecting his ground of lentils. Amen. Sometime earlier, he even told the chief eunuch. He said, we don't want to be defiled with the king's meat. Just allow us to eat lentils. Allow us to eat basically vegetables and these kinds of things, because I don't want to be defiled with the king's food. And the eunuch was afraid, because it would mean that he himself would be in danger. And if this guy would start to look like he's weak, etc. And if you see Daniel chapter 1, in verse 12, he said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, let them give us pulse to eat. You know what pulse is? It's the same thing. It's lentils. Praise God. Hallelujah. So do not despise the small things. Do not despise the field of lentils, the field of pulses, in Jesus' name. Praise God. And what happened was, after some time, the pulses, which were the lentils, which were ignored, they turned out to be full of blessing. Hallelujah. The pulses, the lentils, began to strengthen Daniel in Jesus' name. See the power of what we think is nothing. The eunuch must have thought, pulses, lentils, how can I give you lentils? This is not good. It's the poor man's food. But he insisted. So you see the connection, the field of pulses, the field of lentils. And in Babylon, Daniel said, give me only lentils and you will see. Because this is food that is not dedicated to your gods. I will dedicate it to my God. Hallelujah. And God blessed his health. That's why, brothers and sisters, we pray for the food that we eat. Please remember to do that, because we have a good example here. Daniel refused to eat food which is blessed. It's not blessed, it's cursed, in the name of another god, false gods, in the name of the devils. But he wanted food that had nothing to do with these gods. And he called the name of his God upon his food. When we eat our food, after we pray, it's no longer McDonald's food. It doesn't belong to McDonald's. It belongs to Jesus. Let's call it Jesus's hamburger. Jesus's fries. Jesus's, are you with me? It doesn't belong to McDonald's anymore. We didn't ask McDonald's to bless our food. Praise God. We blessed it in the name of Jesus. We should call McDonald's Jesus's. Amen. And once you bless it, it belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. The power of Jesus will begin to work through. And so Daniel was blessed. Daniel was strengthened, because It's no longer just lentils. It is lentils blessed by the God of Israel. So Shammah stood in the field of lentils. He defended it in the name of his God, Jehovah. He must have reminded the Lord, you gave this land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. Not to the Philistines. So help me, God. Hallelujah. Matthew 25, 21. Let me conclude. Says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Praise God. Shammah's act of defending that small piece of land exemplifies this truth. When believers are faithful in their daily duties, whether in your workplace, your family, the church, you position yourself for divine victory. Faithfulness in small tasks is often a test of our loyalty and trust in God's sovereignty, and it prepares us for greater responsibilities and victories. So the lesson that Shammah teaches us 3,000 years later is that consistency and loyalty, even in the little things, attracts God's favor and enables us to participate in his larger divine plans. Amen. Do you want God to make you part of his great plan? Then be faithful in the small things. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God told Moses in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Praise God. So, whatever your Philistine today, I'm not speaking about human beings. What is your challenge? What is your fear? May the spirit of Shammah come upon you. May the spirit of Christ, hallelujah, who empowers and sustains, come upon you. Praise God. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank God for his mercies, the God who said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Praise God. I want to share just yesterday, I was surprised. I saw in the news that the country of Somalia, where my ancestors come from, not in the north, the south, the president declared from today there will be freedom of religion in Somalia. I was shocked. I checked many different news sources. Many Somalis are angry. And I had tears in my eyes because for 40 years, 40 years, I've been praying. It seemed like a hopeless prayer. Lord, I pray there will be freedom for people to be Christians in Somalia. Someone like me, I'd given up on going to Somalia because of the Sharia law, Al-Shabaab, etc. But now, all over social media, people are either mad or rejoicing. Shocking thing. It's like Saudi Arabia saying, no more Sharia law. You can believe in Jesus. You can walk with the Bible in this country. You can build a church in this country. And the law, the constitution will protect you. It was an emotional moment. I thank my God. Can I ask you to pray for Somalia? That, of course, people like the Al-Shabaab will want to shut this down and fight against it. But there's something there about never giving up in prayer. Never. Amen. And some few people are saying, yeah, I'm a Somali Christian. Some saying, I'm a Somali atheist. Now I can go and visit the country. I hope they'll take this seriously. So there is always that little cloud that appears when you keep praying. This was one of my lentil field. Amen. When it doesn't make sense to pray for something, still pray for it. Still stand in the center. Still defend it. And you never know when the Lord will do something. Praise God. Jesus bless you. May the God of Shammah be with you. May the God who made this man one of the mighty men of David make you one of the mighty men, women of the church today, in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone who heard this message, everyone who has received this message in their hearts. I pray especially for those who are in a challenge, who are literally in this field of lentils, and they're being overwhelmed by Philistines, problems, challenges, whatever the nature of that challenge, demonic, financial, whatever it may be. We pray that they will take courage from the example of Shammah, because Shammah is with you, but you are with us today. You will never leave nor forsake your people, you say. We have faith that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose hearts are perfect towards him. Grant us the grace, the courage to stand in the midst of this field, to defend it, defend the field of lentils in Jesus' name. Like Daniel, to believe that once the lentils are blessed in your name, the lentils can give us more strength than meat and every other food. Because what matters is who is with us. Hallelujah. I bless you today. Bless those who need this message. And that we always need this message at some point in our lives, Lord Jesus. Help us to remember. We bless you. We give you the honor. All this we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Jesus bless each and every one of you abundantly.